أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. We are at the end of the discussion of Mutahhirat, cleaning agents. And in the last class we talked about removal of the main najasat, bartaraf shudane ayn najasat, izalat aslin najasa, which is serves as also a cleaning agent in mutahhir, but for the sake of animals. If the ayn najasa, the main najasat, is removed, then they are considered to be tahir. Likewise, about the humans, the example applies in the case of the blood that comes out of the gum. If the blood is gone, removed, then it is considered to be, the inside of the mouth is considered to be tahir. Now the last one remaining is istibra. Istibra means seeking the bara'at, seeking to get cleaned up. Seeking to get rid of the najasa. What we mean is that if an animal starts eating up human feces, has to be confined and given tahir and pak food before it can be slaughtered Islamically to be consumed. So if a halal meat animal starts eating human feces, then obviously we don't consume that animal until it is cleaned up. Gets habituated with eating the human waste. So this is only applicable to the human waste. Please keep in mind that this ruling doesn't apply about the animal feed. Like we talk about some of the farm areas, they provide animal feed to the chicken, you know, that's not, Islamically, it's not a problem. For a chicken eating an animal feed or a sheep eating animal feed is not a problem. The problem is with chicken or sheep if they are habituated with the human feces and waste, human feces. That's a problem in Islam. So we will confine the animals for a certain period. And after that, we slaughter them to eat. Otherwise, we cannot consume those animals. Now, this duration of confinement is, in that duration, we give them the tahir and pak food. So they get cleaned up. Their whole internal system gets cleaned up from the najis that they have eaten. Now, what is the duration for each animal? This has been clearly defined for a camel. For the camel, it is 40 days of confinement and giving the clean food. For 40 days, we confine the animal and give ourselves nice and clean food to the camel. whereas for a cow, the duration is half, 20 days. For a goat, it is 10 days. For a duck, it is 5 days. And for a chicken, it is 3 days. So this is the ninth mutahhir, second last mutahhir. There is one more to go. The ninth mutahhir is that we confine those of the animals who have habituated adat, the awud, habituated with eating the human feces. We confine them in a place and give them the clean and tahir food for this many days, and after that we do the zibh, we slaughter and we consume. That's the way it works. Then it will be halal to eat. So this is what is called istibra in the case of the mutahhirat. Istibra is also used in a different meaning of, you know, that we already discussed earlier, but that's not what we are talking about, that the humans do istibra for themselves after urinating. So the other, you know, lubrications or liquids that come out will then be like mazi and wadi, and wazi will can be considered a tahir. We are not talking about that thing. We are talking about the mutahhir istibra, which is a cleaning agent. This is what we mean. Now the tenth and the last mutahhir is about disappearance of a Muslim, if you remember. Raib shudane Musalman. Disappearance. Walaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Of a Muslim. So if a Muslim person disappears, is also considered to be one of the cleaning agents, one of the mutahhirat. So what exactly do we mean by disappearance of a Muslim? Now what we mean is that what we mean is that if there is a Muslim person who has his dress, libas, or his body becoming najis, and after becoming najis, he disappears for a while. And we have ihtimal and probability that he may have cleaned it in the Islamic procedure of making it tahir and pak. Then after a while, when you see that Muslim, we will continue, we will apply the ruling of tahir. We will consider that libas to be pak and Islamically clean, or that dress to be Islamically clean, or the body of the Muslim to be Islamically clean, because there is an ihtimal and probability that he may have cleaned it. Because a disappearance is considered by the Sharia as a means of cleaning, cleanliness. Obviously, when there's a Muslim and he knows that this is najis and he's, you know, he will find out, so he is going to clean it. So there is a probability and ihtimal for that, and that's enough to consider it that as, you know, a cleaning agent. Just the ihtimal in this case is sufficient. Even if you don't have yaqeen, you don't have to ask him or do tahqeeq that whether you have cleaned it or not, just his disappearance and then he comes back after a while, that's enough. We'll consider the dress that he was wearing at that time, we will no longer consider it to be najis. Or the body that he had was najis, his body was najis, so we will now consider his body to be Tahir and Pak.
So basically these are the 10 cleaning agents.
So here can we ask that person that your dress is now pure, clean, Tahir, or?
Well, you can ask, but there is no need because this is a cleaning agent, so you should just take it that he you know, here ihtimal is enough.
So is there a minimum duration of getting out of sight, or as much as is required to Tahir, or if he just goes maybe inside his house and come outside, can we assume that, or is there some duration?
Minimum duration, obviously, if he just goes behind the pillar and comes back, or you know, behind the curtain and comes back, or outside and comes back, obviously, and you know there is no room for him to clean in this duration here, and obviously it doesn't apply. But let's suppose if somebody has a dress, he goes to his home, you know, comes and you see him tomorrow, we'll consider it to be enough. Obviously, if it goes out here, we already know that there's no tap of water here and outside, so that's not going to be sufficient.
So, for the previous point, for the goat, it's 10 days, so is it the same ruling for the sheep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, Manana, if this animal, like, suppose they did not eat human feces, but like chicken ate some non-vegetarian feed, like
animal feed
or some kind of a thing that's not Pak Tahir, is the eggs okay to consume?
Yeah, the eggs are okay. Even the meat is okay. We can eat the chicken which has animal feed. Shar'an, it's not a problem.
So Shar'an is not
Shar'an
a problem.
Is not a problem. We avoid it ihtiyatan for the sake that obviously the haram things have their own wazi impact, the inbuilt impact of the haram things. So Shar'an is not a problem to eat that, but so we just want to ihtiyatan avoid it and make sure the chicken that we consume or the goat, whatever we consume, is consuming clean food. So it's good to find out is the vegetable feed, but if it is an animal feed, it doesn't make the animal najis, or the meat of the animal will still be halal. It doesn't make the meat haram to eat. What will be haram, what will not be, not ja'iz, I mean, is if he is habituated with human feces. That is not permissible. So these are basically, we are now done with the 10 mutahhirat and cleaning agents. So our discussion is over about the mutahhirat. Now obviously we did the wudu and tayammum and jabira, all that, and today I would like to talk a little bit about the ghusl of mayyit. Jabira rulings. Okay, so we can do that, yeah, if you want, Javira.
Jabira. Jabira in Arabic means a bandage. So if there's a bandage, if there's an injury and you have a bandage over the injury, how are we supposed to do the wudu in that case? Now, I will write it down in the form of a chart so things are very clear. All of you can write it down if you want. Now, first of all, we'll find out whether the injured area, we'll find out whether the injured part is open or the injured part is covered. The second thing that we need to find out is that is the water is not harmful water is harmful. Whether the water reaching that bandage, that injured part is harmful or it is not harmful. If the water is not harmful, obviously the ruling says in that case that just do the wudu in the normal way. In the normal way, because water is not harmful and the injured area is open, water is not harmful, then just do it in the normal way.
What if the blood would come out if water goes in?
We are coming to that point. If the blood comes out, then obviously you have to make it tahir, make it Islamically clean. And after that, we are supposing in the case where water is not harmful, then clean it in the Islamic way, and after that, start the wudu in the normal way. Because if the blood comes out, the skin is now najis, so you cannot start the wudu unless the awa, the parts of wudu are tahir. So first you have to make it tahir, and then you would start the wudu.
Blood is coming out from the aza. If it's
you
not
cannot
harmful,
do the wudu.
You keep washing it or something.
You keep washing it if you think it's going to stop. But if you think the blood is not going to stop, if you think it's going to stop in 10 minutes, fine. Wait for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, when it stops, then you go and make it tahir, Islamically clean. Then you start the wudu. If the blood is coming out, we cannot do the wudu. If the blood is unstoppable, even after a while, after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you think within the time of the prayers, obviously if you don't want to do make it qada, but within the time of prayers, if you can wait for a little while and the blood will stop, then we will wait. But if you think the blood is unstoppable, that's where we put the bandage and we go for the jabira wudu, so we do the prayers. So if the water is harmful, in the case the water is harmful, then what we do is that if the injury is on the face, or hands, or feet. If the injury is on the face or the hands or the feet, so in that case, what we are supposed to do is that wash the rest of the wash the rest of the area normally, just the way we normally wash, and rub your wet hand over the injury if possible. And if it's not possible, then rub your wet hand over a tahir, Islamically clean cloth. So if you wash the rest of the area, like if the injury is on the face or the hands or the feet, in that case, let's suppose the injury is over your hand. So now you wash the rest of the hand normally. When you reach this injured part, if it is possible for you to rub your hand over the injured part like this and let the water reach, then do it. If it is not possible, then you put some clean cloth, tahir cloth, over it, and you rub your hand over it from top to bottom, you know, and then clean the rest of the area as if you would wash in the normal way.
So the cloth would just be covering the area, particular area that the injuries, other areas should be, the water has to reach around.
Yeah, you have to make the water reach all the areas, but in that injured area, you just put the cloth, even the cloth you can put under a little bit more, but you rub it over the injured area.
Oh,
that material you rub, the rest you have to wash.
You don't have to make it wet, just...
Yeah, you don't have to make it wet, just rub your wet hand over it. Hand should be wet.
But if, what if, the, are we going to cover the part where... Oh, your part is covered, is coming, sorry.
Yeah, we are coming. There's a lot more to come because, yeah... Okay. I think here I should not write the word feet, because for the feet we don't wash anyways. We just do the mass and rubbing. So let's remove the word feet from here, and let's remove the word. That's enough. We just have to remove it from here. Let's remove the word feet from here. Hands or face or hands, where we need to wash. Washing parts of the face are the two hands, not the feet. Feet is for the mass and rubbing with the wet hand, not washing with the wet hand. So this is okay now. So this is the case when the water is if the injury is on the face or the hands. Now if the injury is on the in the second part of this is if the injury is on the front of the head where we do the mass and rubbing in the wudu, or top area of the feet, where we do the mass and rubbing with the wet hand. If the injury is on the front of the head, where you do the mass, or the top of the feet where you do the mass, then in that case we will again see whether is it possible to put a tahir, Islamically clean cloth over the injury or the second situation, it's not possible. It's possible to put the tahir and Islamically clean cloth over the injury, or in the second situation, it is not possible. So we are talking about the head and the top of the feet where we do the masah and the wudu rubbing with the wet hand. If this is the case where the injury is on your head or on the top of your feet, front of the head and top of the feet, and placing a tahir and Islamically clean cloth is possible, then you should put it, rub your hand over the cloth, put that kind of tahir, Islamically clean cloth, put that cloth, rub over the cloth, plus do tayammum. This is ihtiyat wujubi, ihtiyat wajib, obligatory precaution that you do tayammum as well in this case. Okay? And if placing a cloth is over the front of the head or the top of the feet is not possible, if it is not possible, then in this case what we are required to do in Islam is to do tayammum instead of wudu.
what would be an example of when it would not be possible to put a cloth on it? I don't understand.
Sometimes it is harmful to put the cloth, extremely painful, which is intolerable pain. A pain which is beyond the limits of tolerance to touch the injury, So, extreme hardship. In extreme hardship situation where it's extreme hardship and beyond the limits of tolerance to touch the injury or put something over it, obviously it will touch. When you put the cloth, it will touch. So, for example, so in that case, when it is not possible to put the cloth, because our supposition is that water is harmful. That's the whole supposition. Water is harmful, so we have to put the cloth. Now, putting the cloth is not possible. If it is not possible, then we won't do the tayammum. We won't do the wudu, we will do the tayammum instead of wudu. Okay? So, although it is also better, it's not wajib, it's better to do a wudu as well. Your obligation is to do tayammum, plus if you do another wudu as well, it's better, it's not wajib. So this is, let me go through
so
this.
Afterwards, in this second case?
Afterwards. Okay. After you do the tayammum, you do a wudu as well. So let me go through this whole thing.
In that wudu, you would actually exclude the part where it's not possible. Like you not.
Obviously, because it's not possible, you'll exclude it.
You don't exclude that, but do every other thing.
Yeah, it will exclude that, plus it is not possible to put a cloth either.
Right, so it's that you exclude.
You cannot reach, allow the water to reach, plus you cannot put the cloth, you just wash the rest of the areas. So that obviously is not a kamil wudu, because if it is in the front of the head, how can you do the mas? If you cannot do the mas, the whole front of the head has injury, then you cannot do the mas here, sides of the head or back of the head. So whatever possible, you will do that much wudu, which is a naqis and incomplete wudu.
You are doing it after them.
After them. If the injured part is covered, now again there are two possible situations that I'll just discuss one very quickly and the rest inshallah in the next class. Possible to open? It is covered, but is it possible for you to open? And impossible to open. If it is possible to open, then we will find out that there is no hassle, zahmat, and no harm, dharar. If there is no hassle and no harm, then basically the ruling says, in this case, open and do wudu normally. When there is no hassle and no harm to open it and do the wudu normally.
What is the criteria of hassle?
Hassle means something which is doable for us. If it is beyond so much hassle that you cannot tolerate it,
so it's again undue hardship.
It requires you to, for example, go certain hospital, specific hospital, drive that much distance because you are unable to do that, and it's beyond your reach to go there to do handle it. For example. Any hassle which is in your reach to do it.
So it takes time, but basically you can do it yourself at home, but it would take
an hour. If it is doable amount of hassle.
So it's by yourself you can endure it.
No, even if you can seek help from others, that's okay, but it is doable for you. And the second case is that we're opening and there's harm involved. It's harmful. If you open the bandage, it is covered with a bandage, with a, whatever, there is some kind of bandage covering the injury, and if you open it, it is harmful. So often, even if it is harmful for you, and if it is harmful, then the Sharia, and it is, if it's on over the face or the hands. Then the Sharia says, in that case, rub your wet hand over a tahir when the injured part is covered and it is possible to open, but it is harmful for you to open. So in that case, you will not open it and rub your wet hand over the tahir cloth over the injury. Just rub your wet hand over that area. Okay? If that's possible. So if it is harmful for you and it's over your face and hands, so you rub your wet hand over a tahir cloth, rub it over it, because you cannot, it's harmful. Our supposition is that if you harmful for you to open the bandage, when harmful for you to open the bandage, there is a bandage over it. So you don't open it, rub your wet hand over a tahir cloth, put a tahir cloth, Islamically clean cloth over it, and rub your hand over that area and do the rest of the wudu in the normal way.
Well, if the bandage is a cloth bandage and it's tahir, then it's okay.
It's okay.
You don't have to put a cloth on it.
That's why I always buy the cloth bandages.
Yes.
Yeah, if it has a cloth over it, then
sallallahu ala sayyidina nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi.